Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, world, and welcome to the very first Best People We Know radio show. And I'm so excited to be here with you today. My name is Deb Scott, and I'm your host, and I'm bringing you the best of the best people, the best places, the best tools, the best resources to help you be the best person that you were created to be. And who is that person? Peaceful, powerful, purposeful, and obviously very happy. So today we are really, really being blessed to have one of the best people you could ever hope to meet. She is the creator of Best Ever You. She's been Mrs. Maine, so she's not only beautiful on the outside, but she's beautiful on the inside too. And she's dedicated to bringing the Best Ever You people to all of us around the country, and actually she's now international, and her name is Elizabeth Hamilton Garino, and you've been seeing her posted on the Blog Talk feature all day long, and she's waiting in the wings. But before I introduce her live, I just want to let you know a little bit more about Elizabeth if you don't already. And Elizabeth will absolutely motivate, inspire you, and give you the tools to make your dreams come to life, because she shares her own real-life walk-the-talk story in sharing the creation of her international brand and business, Best Ever You, LLC. And I have the website up in the chat box for those of you that are in there now. It's www.besteveryou.com. And Elizabeth is a firm believer that life is filled with endless possibilities, and she's living proof of that. She founded Best Ever You in 2008, and it was just an idea, like many of us have, and it was a small website, and it started with a few experts, and it featured some of her friends since grade school on the website. And today, from that seed of hope and inspiration and motivation, she's created a leading multimedia lifestyle content for people all around the globe, and she is reaching millions. And Elizabeth has created a very positive, encouraging multimedia company that features real people with real advice, real products, real places, and real businesses on the web. And she has a magazine, a TV. She's 100% word-of-mouth marketing and growing every day. And it is a pleasure to introduce and welcome to our very first show, my birthday, by the way, couldn't have asked for a better birthday gift, Elizabeth Hamilton. Are you there, Elizabeth?
I am. Thank you. You're very kind, and happy birthday.
Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you. I can't think of a better birthday gift. I'm so excited to have you, and I know the listeners have been really excited to hear your story and what you're doing, because we can all learn from you. And I think that, you know, in talking, we both believe that we all help each other in this journey called life. And there's nothing more exciting than discovering who you are and being that best person. So tell us about your story and how you got to where you are, and just share what's in your heart.
Well, you know, I'm just a mom. I'm a mom of four boys. They're 9, 11, 13, and 15. And I've been home with my kids for a pretty long time now, about, you know, 10 or 12 years. And throughout that whole period, I've always kept one foot in the working door, because prior to that, out of college, I had a pretty nice job at Merrill Corporation in Minneapolis, St. Paul area. And I traveled and trained people and did all the things I loved to do. And then I had two children. And I got a divorce, and I got remarried and had two more children. And I was outnumbered, basically. So I kind of stayed home. And in 2008 or so, the first child entered kindergarten. And
yep.
Us moms who stay home with our kids,
they're listening. They're listening. They're saying, yes, we know. We know. Tell us. Tell us.
Yeah. You know, there's a little bit of freedom that comes with that. Even if it's half-day kindergarten, there's freedom. And so I kind of went back to work, and I took a job as a vice president of an investment management company, and really absolutely hated it. I don't know why. I thought I would love it because it was what I had sort of done before back in the early 90s and so forth, and just really didn't love it. And so as I was sitting there working at this company that was doing investments, I was sitting there creating best ever you at my desk.
I could see that brainstorm. You're doing one thing and then the creative juices are flowing. The right brain's going. Yeah.
No, I just sat there and created it. And I remember the company was started with my neighbor up the street originally. And I said to her, you know, there's got to be a place where women can go, not a mom's club, but a place where moms can kind of connect but be a little bit businessy, a little bit mommy-like, a little bit this, a little bit of that. And I said, but about being your best, you know, there's got to be a place where you can make people feel good, too, or help them in their journey, because I notice a lot of times people get really depressed in mommy land. They go through postpartum depression. They go, you know, just they're just not interacting with people anymore like you would in a job. And I witnessed a lot of stuff being home. And so I said to her something about the best ever, best you, best this, best that. And we went through to see if some domains were available. And we came up with best ever you. And that's really how it started, just a tiny little 5-page website. We featured my friend from kindergarten, Kathy Papera, from lilypadbaby.com. I used to watch the Muppets with her. We have Muppet jokes to this day at 41 years old.
No. Love that. Love that part. The real life stuff. That's what we love.
Yeah, and to this day, the company has grown. It has a Los Angeles office in Redondo Beach, and a company by the name of WebGem Network doing the website. And it's just a great company right now. It's really a lot of fun. It grows every day.
And you never know. And you're being very humble because you've done so many things. I mean, you've written a book, you own a cookie company, you've got health and media, and you've been an actress and you've been in movies, and you've just done so many things. And one of the inspirational parts of your personality that I really admire and respect is that you are being the best you can wherever you go. And you're not just limiting yourself to one creative idea, but you're using all the tools and all the talents and all the skills you have, however you can, in the best way possible, and then you're sharing with other people. And for a lot of us listening and trying, especially today, you know, it's tough out there and there's a lot of obstacles and challenges. But I think in listening to your story, I think it's got to inspire all of us to say, hey, you know, live your life, do what you're doing, and then follow your heart, whether it's in the office and the job you're doing or it's the girlfriend that you can still watch the Muppets with at any age. You know, if there's that persistence, if there's that persistent, you know, a grabbing of your heart to do something, you know, just do it. And what would you say to people that are listening right now saying, wow, look at what Elizabeth did. She really did this. She's just like me, and she understands how I feel. But, you know, look at what she's been able to do with that. What would you tell them? What would you inspire them with? And maybe some character traits or something where you wanted to quit but you kept going for them to have hope too right now.
Well, I have a couple of sayings in my own head. I don't know here how they come now, I guess. But I have the worst anything anybody can say to you is no. So try. Just try. Even if you try and you fail miserably, at least you tried. But if you never try, you'll never know. So that is one.
Yep.
I'm a firm believer in, you know, if being in a movie is something you want to do, well, then, darn it, try. If writing a book is something you want to do, try. But a lot of people get stuck in never trying because they're so afraid that they're going to fail or not do it right, or people are going to make fun of them, or what's somebody going to think about what I wrote or how I look. Or, you know, there's just so many stumbling blocks, but I'm a firm believer in just go for it. Try.
Yeah.
And then the other thing that I'm a firm believer in, and you can ask my husband because I'm the biggest goofball known to mankind, he says I always walk around with a smile on my face, and that's because I find humor in almost everything. There is something funny everywhere.
The best medicine.
I mean, I can laugh in church. I'm terrible. I am terrible to go to church with, for example. I mean, I think things are just so funny. And that's, you know, just there's humor everywhere and everything, and I think people get so serious. And even, you know, this kind of comes from, I learned this from my parents, really, that there's funny stuff everywhere. Because, you know, my dad, for example, in 2004, he collapsed in the middle of the living room floor back in Minnesota and is a stroke victim. And, we all, I don't know how many kids we have in our family. Some days it's 10, some days it's 14. I think there's around 10 or 11 of us. I'm in the middle of a lot of kids.
There's a lot. There's a lot.
Kids, and I have to count on my fingers and rattle them all off. But, you know, my mom and dad are just pretty cool people. They, we grew up, we had a great childhood. And when my dad had those strokes in 2004, he didn't have one. He had a lot of them because the doctor overdosed him on Coumadin.
Mm-hmm.
He was supposed to get 1.5 milligrams of Coumadin and got around 15. And so it caused a major problem with him. But he lived through it. And I can remember I was back home here in Maine, and I was packing black clothes thinking my dad was going to die. And instead of having to get on that flight, I actually got a phone call from him where he woke up out of the coma that he was in, and I was one of the people he wanted to call to make sure that he was okay, to tell me he was okay. And that was just absolutely bizarre, and, you know, I don't think he was supposed to live through that and did. And he's so awesome. I mean, he's just such an inspiration. He lives his life thoroughly. He, you know, you never take a day for granted. And
yeah.
My parents have had all sorts of crazy stuff happen to them, and they smile through it.
Yeah, I think that, you know, the gratitude for every moment and the people that love us and really being present in the now, I think that there's no greater way to live, and your dad, and that's certainly not a pleasant situation to be in. I know both my parents have passed away, and I was with them during that, and they passed away within a year of each other. But it's amazing how sometimes getting that close to death or even reflecting on our own death can really help us live. You know, that saying that anybody can die, but not anybody can really live. And sometimes we really need to get that wake-up call to get into the business of living in our life. And what you've done, you know, is take that tragedy and made it something to treasure.
And sometimes,
you know,
it's not, you know, not that serious as a health problem or something, but in these times it could be a loss of a job or a loss of a house or a loss of a, you know, there's lots of losses going on right now. And I think it's very important to still, in the midst of all the changing things that are happening to this country and world right now, to really focus in on the things that are positive around you and focus on those things and keep your
right.
life in a positive direction if you can.
So your whole philosophy, I mean, if people go to your website, and I've posted that up, thebesteveryou.com, and there's a lot of links on there, and you can go to a lot of places and find out about Elizabeth, and she's on Facebook and Twitter and LinkedIn, and I mean anywhere, if anybody somewhere, you'll find Elizabeth there. But I think that people today in these tough times, a lot of people that I meet, you know, want to say, well, I can't be my best because of these outward experiences right now. But really, it's like that good glass of wine that, you know, is formed under the pressure of the grape, or the diamond that's, you know, under the pressure and the sand. Sometimes our brightest brilliance comes out under pressure. And you know, one of the things that, and I'll have you comment on this, but one of the things that I love on your Elizabeth with all the different colors on it, that particular site that's about you, and I'll just share it with the readers here. It says, "Welcome to my world. I hope you include me in yours." Love that humility. Let's do business. Let's write. Let's make commercials. Let's make movies. Let's donate. Let's promote others. Let's embrace family and friends. Let's live. I love that.
That's my philosophy on life.
Yeah.
I don't think you get anywhere in this world without the help of others. I really don't. You know, it's just as simple as I did a radio show the other day, and Deb, I wouldn't have done that had you not said, you know, you should do this. You know, it's just as simple as that. And, you know, one of the things that I'd still like to do in my life is be in a movie. I don't know if I'm ever going to achieve that. I don't know exactly how from Maine you get to be in the movies, but I sure like the
yeah.
one. I just think it sounds like such fun. And I kind of scratched that itch a little bit by being in commercials and things. I've been in commercials, like you were saying, I've been in commercials since I was itty-bitty. I absolutely love to act and, do commercials and do those kinds of things. But, again, for me, my life right now isn't so much about me. It's about really my favorite thing in the world is promoting other people. I don't know why, but it's just my absolute favorite thing in the world. I love to hear what other people are doing and just yap about what they're doing.
I know, and you know, I have the same DNA gene too. Because you read in my book, I have this 2-minute volunteer philosophy. I'm just convinced that, you know, whatever you give, you're going to get back. So you can throw the manure or the perfume, but whatever you give away and whatever you help other people with is staying stuck to you first. And I think that people forget that to give away something, you have to have it first. So if you give away love, you have to have that in your heart. And the more you do the kindness that you want, the more comes back to you. And there's no greater feeling than knowing that you're helping someone and you're really not expecting anything in return. And that's when the magic happens. I mean, I think that people listening today can say, hey, I've had an idea and I maybe thought about it in a job that I wasn't so happy about, and I was talking to a friend, but, you know, the naysayers say, oh, that'll never amount to anything. And now, you know, you can be somebody's 4-minute mile, Elizabeth, and that's what's exciting about this opportunity through radio and so forth, is getting people to change their thinking that if somebody else can run that 4-minute mile, if you can do these things and make a difference in the world, then there's no reason for somebody else to say, you know what, I can do that too. And the beauty about this is that you're so accessible. When I first met you, I was overwhelmed at you respond, you email, and it's not your secretary or somebody, it's you.
No,
I mean, you're really there.
The volume of email I get is fascinating. At one point, we were trying to see if maybe somebody from the Los Angeles office could get in there into my Facebook or get into my email and maybe start responding. We tried it for a little bit, and it didn't work so great because people really want to reach you. They don't want to reach a secretary or somebody else. But, yeah, the volume of email is fascinating. But it's cool because I love all the emails. I love being in touch with people, and I love meeting new people. And without that, you know, it's sort of stagnant in a way. You don't grow. And I have a joke with my husband. I'm like, one day I'm eating my Frosted Flakes, and the next minute I'm talking to Willie Galt on the phone. You know, who knows what the day is going to bring? I have no idea. I think one of my favorite things that I've done recently, there's actually two, in the realm of promoting other people, is the D.B. Sweeney interview that we just did. Oh, my gosh. I almost fell out of my chair because, you know, I remember him from The Cutting Edge, you know, Toothpick. That movie was so adorable.
Yep.
And so to be able to promote his new movie, and he's the director and producer and all that, that was really a true joy in my life. I joke with my husband that, okay, everything from this point forward is gravy. I've interviewed D.B. Sweeney.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, and so that was a real, you know, I can't tell you since I was a kid. I used to think when I was a kid, boy, if that's what I'm going to do when I grow up, I'm going to interview him. So it was so bizarre to actually achieve that goal because I used to really think about that when I was a child. And then the other thing that you'll see coming out on Best Ever You is the interview. You know the Geico guy? His name is Michael McGlone, and he is just a neat guy. He's a great singer and a great actor, and he does all these great voiceovers and stuff. And so we're going to have an interview coming up with him. And so, you know, life takes its interesting twists and turns. And one of my dear friends has become Brianna Brown. She plays Dr. Lisa Niles on General Hospital. She's so cool. She's a big promoter of Best Ever You. And, again, without those people supporting you and so forth, you know, it's just not as much fun.
Yeah, and you know, the other thing that if I'm listening to you, you know, clearly, you're saying that these people that you thought were so unapproachable or maybe those people that we think are so successful and so picture perfect. You know, they are real life people, and they started out in life the same way as us, and we're all the same in that respect. And did you find in meeting these people and talking to them that they have the same hopes and dreams and sadness and joys as the rest of us?
Oh, absolutely. They have the same bills to pay, the same kids going to soccer in the afternoon, the same, you know, plane they're going to miss, the same lunch they've got to eat. You know, it's just, you know, they're just doing a different career.
Yeah.
And it's a more visible career. It's the same exact thing. It's just a more visible career. And to them, it's very serious work. Just like, you know, you writing that book, well, they're making a movie to them isn't something that they say, oh, I'm going to be a star and I'm going to be seen. Making a movie to them is real serious business, actually. So, you know, it's not like they're leading some, you know, I'm sure some people are, but it's not some glamour life that they're, you know, aspiring to have. They're actually really trying to be genuine to their craft.
Yeah. And you know, this is what's so great about the best people we know, or best ever you, or, you know, callers or people listening right now. You know, our best for us is not, you know, don't compare, the compare and despair syndrome. Because when we start trying to be somebody else, we forget that, you know, we are a one-of-a-kind brand. And if you look at all of planet Earth from dinosaurs till now, you're never going to find another Elizabeth Hamilton or Deb Scott or you know, anybody. Everybody say their name right now, you know. There's only one of us, and nobody's been us before. And I think that being our best is being who we are created to be, and being open. As I, you know, I hear you saying as you were just open to the opportunities that came to you. You weren't setting out to create an international business with Best Ever You.
No, I definitely wasn't. I was,
you know,
setting out to just do something I enjoyed. But, you know, I will tell you this, too. One of the things behind Best Ever You starting is that notion exactly of helping people realize their potential within, and not sitting there, for example, reading some high fashion magazine. I'm guilty of this for a long time. I might be 5'3 on a really big hair day. I mean, itty bitty. I am so short. Ask anybody. I mean, I have people come up to me and put their elbow resting on top of my head for a break, you know, my whole life.
Oh.
I am tiny, with heels on, 4-inch heels. I might be 5'6 or 5'7, but, you know, and there, you know, there's a realization at some point, you know, where you go, oh, I guess I'm not going to be that fashion model. And so you're looking through those magazines going, you know, if that's who you think you are, you're not. So your perception of yourself and really getting a good read on who you really are as a person is very important.
Yeah. And do you think that being our best, I know in when people go to your website and look at it, I mean, there's a section for everything: health and wellness, relationships, fitness, entertainment, parenting, money, home improvement, food and wine, fashion and style, travel, environment, pets, you name it. If it exists, you got it. And do you think that part of that is being peaceful, being comfortable in our own skin and enjoying our own company?
Oh, I definitely think so. And behind all of those different sections, there's a joke, actually. My husband says, "You girls, you have too many moving parts. You think about everything."
Oh, God.
Well, you know, but one of the taglines I originally had for Best Ever You was like, "Everything but the kitchen sink." Oh, wait, here, it's over here too, because, you know, it's meant as sort of a mind dump of everything we think about, from, you know, your shoes to your hair to your makeup to your bills to your house to the, you know, to your job, to everything. And those are all the different aspects that make up a person. And so it's meant to go, let's say if, you know, you're not feeling so great about your business right now, well, maybe somebody on there will inspire you to do better. There's 5 or 6 of the top business experts in the country in that section of the site who could give you advice on how to dress for an interview, to what to say, to project management, to, you know, there's a lot of different experts in there, and that's one section of the site that's very, very good right now. And another section is the fitness section. It's got people like Forbes Riley in it, Shay Vaughn, who's Vince Vaughn's mom. There's Bonnie Feister. There's just a ton of people in there as experts.
Yeah, and they're all willing to communicate and help somebody else be their best because they understand and they have an open heart and they're compassionate. And that's the community. That's the Best Ever You community. And, you know, when people go, what would you tell a first-time visitor going to your site to help them really appreciate who they are and how to become the best that they want to be? What is somebody for the first time going to your site, what would you tell them?
For somebody going to the site the first time, I would tell them to scroll down on the homepage, because there's a lot more than meets the eye on the homepage. We haven't moved everything to the top yet, so it's not real evident that we're a magazine, a TV show, a book club, we have giveaways and so forth. So I would first of all say that. And then from there I would say to them, this is a place to promote you, and it's a place to help you. But it's a place to promote you for free. We feature people on that site for free. Whether you're famous, not famous, have a cause, have a book, have a, you know, whatever's going on in your life, tell us about it and we'll post it.
Yep. And people can reach you, again, besteveryou.com, but they can email you. There's links on your site as well so that they can get in touch with you from there, just to add to the number of emails that you're already getting. So.
Okay. No, I love all the emails. Anybody can always email me. My email is elizabeth@besteveryou.com. And then within the realm of all the social networking and media and so forth, pretty much, you know, like Twitter, /BestEverYou or Facebook/BestEverYou. We're all over the place on LinkedIn and so forth. Just everything is Best Ever You.
Yeah, and we are the best people we know. So that would be the other book in there. So you know that I'm really big into transformation. That's my big hot button, is helping people, you know, take what they think is a disaster and turning it and seeing that diamond in them. And knowing that you've had the good and the bad and everything in between and persevering towards making this dream come true, is there any type of story, something that, you know, was really tough at one time that you thought, well, maybe I'm just going to quit. You know, maybe there's that short moment of feeling a little beat up. But, you know, there was something in you that told you. What was that transformation? Or is there anything that you can share so that someone today right now who's listening and saying, you know, I've just got to make this happen before I die, before they put the dirt over me in the ground, I've got to make sure that I have this experience, you know, that I have this done. Because your walk the talk is such a valuable gift for everybody right now, that there must be something that you would like to share in a transformation story.
Yeah, there's a reason that I'm the spokesperson for the Medic Alert Foundation. I wear a Medic Alert on my left arm, on my left wrist at all times. If there is something to be allergic to, I swear to God, I will find it. I'm like the canary in the coal mine. I am just that allergic to everything. And in particular, I am extremely, deathly allergic to all nuts, peanuts, pecans, walnuts, cashews, anything like that.
Wow.
And I wasn't born with these allergies. I developed them in 1998 after having my second child. And I died. I mean, I had an allergic reaction so bad that I was resuscitated in Burnsville, Minnesota. And I basically collapsed outside a Starbucks in Burnsville, Minnesota. And my husband at the time drove me to the hospital. Neither one of us really knew what was wrong with me. And when we got to the hospital, my blood pressure was like 60 over 30, which is, not good. That's not a good blood pressure to have.
Wow, no, not at all.
No, definitely not a good one. Not a good reading. And neither one of us knew what was wrong. I couldn't talk. I was incoherent. And they thought I was a drug overdose victim. They thought, you know, I had OD'd on something, and my husband's like, no, that's not it. She doesn't do drugs or anything like that.
Wow.
Doesn't drink, doesn't do drugs, so check something else. And, yeah, I had had a very severe, not even severe, you know, deathly allergic reaction. And when I got, you know, resuscitated from that, they put me in the hospital for a few days, but my kidneys weren't working and things like that. And the doctor came in and he said, kiddo, you need a medic alert on. And I'm like, a medic alert, what? And he goes, well, you're one of the most allergic human beings alive. And I got to tell you, back in 1998, food allergies weren't as prevalent as they are now. And it was so embarrassing. And it was so scary to be allergic, to really also not know everything that you were allergic to. I've had numerous allergic reactions to nuts and so forth. You know, just eating a Dairy Queen hot fudge sundae topped with peanuts sent me to the hospital one time. And so finally discovering what exactly was wrong has been a process. But I'll tell you, when you've got something wrong with you like that, it's easy to get sad about it.
Yeah.
And that's a never-give-up moment. Just really, I have anaphylactic shock to nuts, shellfish, many medications, aspirin, you name it. Just if it's not, I joke that if it's not five ingredients, I don't eat it.
Wow.
The problem is chocolate ice cream has five ingredients. So I had a chocolate ice cream.
Well, chocolate ice cream isn't bad, and I know that you had the best ever you ice cream contest, so that must have been enjoyable to be with. But, you know, Elizabeth, that's frightening. And
Yes. And
any of us listening, I think humility, you know, it really humbles us to realize that we don't have the control and we don't have the power in life that we sometimes think we do. And in this busy, crazy world of all this tech stuff, you know, it's texting,
Yes. It's
computers, it's this, it's that, go, we forget that we're really not the all-powerful in control. And sometimes a situation like that, which is horrible to listen to you say, and certainly frightening, and nobody wishes it on anybody, but, you know, what a motivator for you to use it as a springboard to really squeeze the juice out of life.
Well, you know what I do with it is I help children, and I help I'm helping Medic Alert design children's bracelets. And I was on the cover of Medic Alert magazine and on their website and so forth, featured for allergies and so forth. So I really try and turn the negative into a positive, and that's another thing I do pretty consistently in my life is anything that comes my way negative doesn't last very long in my world. It's always flipped around and turned into positive.
I love that. See, that is definitely a Best People We Know Club membership carrying card qualification. I just totally love that. Because I think that, you know, when we have these moments, and I know I have a lot of them, I wrote a whole book about them, but, you know, these things where we just feel like, wow, this is just a horrible thing, or why is that happening? But if we look at it and say, okay, God, what can I learn from this? You know, and then the mess becomes the mission, and what you're saying with the medic alert, you know, it's just a horrible thing what happened to you, but look at all the children you're helping in that way, and look at what you're doing, and I think what you're saying to the people listening is, hey, whatever your tragedy is or whatever the challenge is, you know, maybe that's a divine message for you to use in a passionate format to make a difference in the world, and that would be your best, and that would be your brand of best. I mean, because that story is fantastic.
But yeah, I do a lot with Medic Alert, and they're featured on our website as well. In the best experts section, you can go click in the health area, and Medic Alert will pop up. And really, for anybody who has any kind of medical condition, whether it's diabetes or Alzheimer's or whatever, you can put one of these Medic Alert bracelets on, and the emergency responders are trained to look for them.
Yeah, and you know, that leads to another question. Do you find in being your best that what motivates you, it's not so much what you're doing as why you're doing it, and it's about checking your motivation? Because, you know, in listening to that story, you're doing that to help to help people that need it, because you know you've experienced it and you're authentic and you're honest. And do you think that's one of the character traits that when people want to be their best, they need to focus on?
Well, I think very often if you I really do. I think very often if you're sitting there promoting, you know, yourself, and that's your motivation, you're going to be really disappointed and short, you know.
The All About Me show is boring. It's got to be the All About You and Me show.
That's a good one. Yeah, exactly. I don't, you can ask anybody, I don't really do much that involves promoting me. It's, in fact, that's a joke on one of my websites as well, is the press section is empty because I spend so much time promoting other people. I don't ever promote myself. And, you know, I just really firmly believe that I'm a firm believer in doing things for other people. Very, especially with having kids, if there's a moment in my day that's selfish, it might be the 25th hour. I'm not sure. I don't know.
Maybe the 28th.
Yeah,
maybe the 33rd.
Okay, yes,
kind of fight. But maybe the 8th day in the week or something like that.
It's funny. Carving out the time to do anything for me specifically. And that's good and bad, too. I mean, there's days definitely where I do carve out the time for me. I'm not saying that I'm, you know, completely about everybody else all the time, but a majority of the things I do, even the cookie company, for example, with Maine Cookie Company, it used to be Tahoe Cookie Company, but when we moved here, we just changed the name to Maine Cookie Company. That's even not about me. It's about helping kids. We've donated, it's got to be upwards near almost 80,000 cookies now. I've handmade and donated about 80,000 cookies now to kids across the country. And a fair shake of those cookies donated are to kids with allergies.
Oh, wow.
Because they're always nut-free, because I can't sit here and make walnut chocolate chip cookies. I make nut-free chocolate chip cookies. And there are some kids in this community who are dependent on those for their chocolate chip cookie fix.
Which, you know, people, it's the old saying, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And people don't remember what you said, but they always remember how you made them feel. And, you know, that cookie for that kid that's suffering that tough day, and I know you went through a lot with one of your sons with the ear infection for a long time, and, you know, all of these things, you know, we remember, what do we remember when we're sick or in the hospital or having a tough time? We remember the people that cared about us, that made us feel that we mattered, not because of what we had or what we look like or what we didn't have or what they can, you know, what we could give them, but just because we exist. And the value that we are here is all the evidence we need to prove that we are the best because we're existing. And I think what you're doing is getting out there and helping people know that it's about them being them, unique, and caring about them, whether it's the cookie or the book or it's advice or it's a smile or it's the radio show. It's just wherever your heart is leading you, that's where you're going. And you still do it afraid.
You're definitely like that, too, which is why we're friends. Because
I love us. I love us and all the listeners, the best people we know.
No, but I see that in you too. You know, those you have definitely, there have been moments where, you know, you've pointed me in a different direction, and not because, you know, you're competitive or anything like that. It's because you see something for me to do. And, you know, I was trying to, you know, we were talking about this a little bit, but that's powerful. I'm a really big fan of, in particular, people helping other people. I have a thing on Best Ever You called Random Acts of Kindness Day, and I'll put it up on Facebook, and it's a day meant to, you know, hey, if there's somebody standing in line in front of you, pay for the groceries or take the groceries out to their car or do something nice for somebody else. But I'm just a really big fan of not being I'm not a big fan of everybody with, you know, the ribbons and the 9th place ribbon and the 10th place ribbon and the 11th place ribbon, but a big fan of helping other people and, you know, just ensuring people have tools for success.
Yeah.
And I think it comes from learning from other people, and there's nothing more powerful than a helping hand.
Yeah, and you know, the way we treat the person that's least important to us, you know, that when nobody's seeing us and what we're doing, that's who we are.
Oh yeah, definitely.
And,
I don't know. My husband and I, we see somebody struggling to walk across the street, we always stop and help them, and we teach our kids that. And one of the things I learned from my parents at a real young age, again, a lot I've learned from my mom and dad, when we were kids, we didn't grow up very poor. We grew up, my parents owned a chain of video stores, and one thing they always did is they helped all the needy kids. And there was this one year where my parents went to the, I don't know if it was the church or what it was, but they came home with this list of all these things these families needed. And I'm sitting there in this really big house. They had just bought me a car and a waterbed. And in comes this list for all of us to look at. And this family needs toilet paper. Seriously,
yeah.
No joke. I mean, really and for real, it was like pants size 8 for my wife, pair of shoes for my child. We need toilet paper. We could use some shampoo. And I'm sitting there going, oh, my gosh. You know, I've got it so good here. I didn't realize that there were people in the world who might need, who didn't have toilet paper.
Yeah.
There are people like that.
Yeah, you know, there's a lot. And you know, I think it's one of those, I really believe that this is why volunteering and suffering, this is the good thing about suffering. We take things for granted. I know that, you know, I sometimes look on Facebook and there's somebody that's going through something that it boggles my mind, or listening to some of the other blog talk shows and looking at some of the people that are suffering. And, you know, sometimes the people that have the least have the most, because their value is on the simple things. I was doing a blog post the other day, and, you know, they were talking about happiness and the amount of money, and there was this study that said that people that make more money, you know, they're actually spending so much less time. Anything over 100,000, you know, people that are making over 100, they're so busy trying to keep that maintained that they're not spending as much time with their family and loved ones. And one of the bizarre upside down, right side up components, I think, of the economy and the financial tragedies and things like that is it's forcing us as a society and a group of people to really say, okay, well, what is important? And, hey, guess what? I still didn't die because my finances are less or things didn't happen. I'm finding out more about who my friends are, or I'm finding out that there's more value to me than just a dollar sign, or I have other time to open up my heart to the discoveries of creating a best ever you. I mean, for example, something like that, or doing some things that you wouldn't normally do. And sometimes, you know, people don't change because they see the light. They change because they feel the heat. And sometimes those things give us a little bit of heat. But I think the gratitude attitude, do you get up every day and say a thank you prayer, or what, how does your day go to have that gratitude, like with the story you just described, with the socks and the family, we need the toilet paper and the basic necessities that so many of us take for granted. You know, how do you keep that in your day so that you invite gratitude as part of your life so that you can bloom a beautiful garden in your life?
Well, our day, it depends on the day, but our days usually start very early. Sometimes they're 5:30, sometimes they're 5. And my husband and I get up usually ahead of the kids, and we always have tea. Just a simple thing like that. That's our time for ourselves before, you know, chaos follows. And it's not always chaotic, or our kids are pretty easy. But that's always our moment where we connect in the morning. We'll talk about the day, what's going to happen. Some days are busier than others, but, you know, he and I wake up, and, you know, we start each day with a kiss and tea, and the days always, you know, or try to always just be thankful for, you know, everything that we have. We're just thankful. I don't know. We're just thankful people. I don't know if it's necessarily a conscious process for us, but just something we have in us. We've been that way for a while now, where we just are always just like that, I guess. I don't know. Do you have tips that you provide people to bring that into their lives so it's a regular thought process? I'm sure you do.
Well, I'm big into the first thing in the morning is thank you, God, for everything, whether I want to say that or not, because, you know, sometimes you say it and then it becomes part of you, and, you know, the feelings and the thoughts and the behaviors, and they're so connected, and sometimes people forget to do what you're doing naturally. Yeah, yeah.
Positive thinking breeds, you know, positive in your life, whereas if you wake up and the first thing out of your head, you know, your mouth is like, oh my God, I'm so fat.
Yeah, let's not think that thought.
Yeah, you know,
that's not good, Elizabeth.
That's there's people who might think like that, and I just don't. I don't know why. My head goes to positive thinking. What's going to make this day the best? What are we going to do today? How are we going to have fun? How are we going to work? What's going on with the kids? What are they doing? And, you know, whose lives are we going to touch today?
Yeah. And, you know, I think that you know, some of us that have had different upbringings and family lives might be prone to being a little sensitive to things. But I do believe even if you've been putting your arm right over left, if you have a good motivation to get it left over right and you start experiencing the results and you start feeling that happiness and it starts to become of you, then you start, you know, it becomes more comfortable to do the left over right. So the new habits, they become more comfortable, and then you do them more naturally. And it's like any language that you're learning, the more you use it and the more you practice it with people that are doing it, the easier it is to speak. So,
an amazing way of doing that.
Children?
Oh, children are just lovely like that.
Yeah, I'm convinced kids, because I volunteer with kids, teens, and 8th, 9th, 10th graders, and I'm convinced the kids and my two dogs, my Beiju and my Zuzu baby, they you can't fake anything with them. They just see right through you.
Right through everything, yep.
So it's good to put yourself in that place. I guess you can't really say one trait, but if you had to pick a trait, people listening that are saying, you know, well, what can I do? What can I incorporate into my language of happiness, into my language of being my best ever me, you know, besides going to the website and visiting the things that you have and sharing, are there specific traits? Are there, would you say gratitude would be it, or what might you want to share? Is there a particular quality that you feel is a must-have, a keystone that holds it all together?
Yeah, it's not so much gratitude. I think it's courage.
Courage.
I do, yeah. I'm a big fan of courage. I'm actually one of the shyest human beings you will ever meet in your life.
I don't believe it, Elizabeth.
Everybody says that. Everybody goes, I don't believe you for a second. But if you know me and you know what courage it takes for me to get on the phone to be on a radio interview, that's me. I believe in courage. It is so scary to me to think, okay, this is live radio, this is going to be taped. Everything I say can and will be used against me. There's a whole thing that went on in my head before I got on this phone call, and it takes courage. I there's this one experience I had that changed my life one time, and I mean, my ex-husband and I were dead broke. Oh, my gosh, you couldn't have eaten more ramen noodles in your life. And we were driving this car that you couldn't get out of without rolling down the windows and reaching out and unlocking it. I'm thankful we had a car, but wow. So I'm in this job interview trying. I drove up from Iowa to try and get this job at Merrill Corporation in St. Paul, Minnesota. And I don't know what I had on or whatever. I just went into the job interview. And I knew I was in over my head. I was sitting in this mahogany fireplace-type room, and in walks the CEO of the company, John Castro. And I'm thinking, uh-oh, I'm totally and completely in over my head. I don't know what I'm doing here or anything. You know, I don't know what to say. I'm just 21 or 22. So I'm begging for a job. I mean, really, I was sitting there going, you know, I don't care what I do. I just like this company, and I really want to work here. So if there's something you can find for me to do, bring it on. That was kind of the job interview because, you know, when he said, what are your goals? I said, you know, my immediate goal is to be able to get out of that car you see outside without climbing over the stick shift, with the car running, rolling down the window and reaching out the door to unlock, you know, to open the car door, and, you know, having to scoot out the passenger side to get into this job interview.
Yeah, I'm getting the visual. I'm getting the visual.
I'm in a skirt jumping over the, you know, and, you know, it's a two-seat, you know, maybe like just a little Subaru type of thing. And, you know, and he said, well, you know, that's an interesting goal. That's not what I wanted to hear exactly. You know, he's thinking work goals and what do you want to do? And I'm like thinking, you know, my car is broken and I don't have any money. And I need a job. I need to, you know, I just graduated from college. I need a cool job. And so he was so cool. I got hired.
And here
I
you go.
I got hired for nothing. I mean, I was making like maybe like $21,000 a year, you know, kind of, you know, it was a bare bones minimum out of college job, but he gave me a shot. He said, you know, I'll give you a shot. And they put me in the in a department of training people and so forth, and I blossomed. I loved that job. To this day, that is my favorite job I've ever had other than Best Ever You. Best Ever You kind of brings it all back, and I'm using all the tools I learned from that job. But that was just a fun job. I traveled everywhere, and I trained people, and I helped develop the Securities and Exchange Commission's EDGAR system with that job.
Wow.
It was so fun. Yeah.
So you would just, you know, who would think that climbing out of a car and, you know, you were honest, you were being yourself, you had the courage, you had a sense of humor, and you just brought who you were, not trying to be anybody else, but just who you were in that moment, and look at the result, one of the best jobs that you ever had that you enjoyed so much, and what a difference. And I'm sure they're still talking about you. They're probably listening right now, Elizabeth.
I hope they are. I told them to listen. I still talk to them to this day. But, yeah, I'm just a real firm believer in really being who you are. You know, just, you know, if you're 5'3" and you're 41 years old and you have four kids, you're not a runway model in, you know, Paris, and you're not 6'3" and you're not 20. You're 41 with four kids and you're 5'3". And, I think you have to have some reality basis to really who you are and go from there. Learn what your strengths are, learn what your weaknesses are, and just learn about yourself to really be who you are.
Yeah, and I think that that is so true. Just, I love that about you, Elizabeth. Just love the skin you're in. Be the best who you are. Don't try to be somebody else. And, you know, the daffodils don't be fighting that you're not a rose, and the roses don't be complaining to the daffodils. You know, you got to just love who you are and celebrate that. And I think the other message that I'm on the same page with you on is we need to surround ourselves in the transformation that's going to help us be that best person, that best ever you. And that's why I love that you have built a community at Best Ever You, and I have so much respect and admiration for that, because you are who you associate with. You know, if I wanted to know something about you, I could tell from all the books you have in your library on your bookshelf. You know, the people that we associate with say something about us. The things that we do, how we interact with others, these are all telltale signs, and it's rubbing off on us too. And I think that that's one of the greatest parts of getting in with a community such as Best Ever You, is being with people that are committed and looking at the same vision. You know, it's you and me against the problem, not me against you.
Yeah.
And there are people like that. But I think the other part is to walk away from the people that aren't.
That's
Do you find that sometimes it's harder to let go? Sometimes it's harder to let go than it is to hold on, don't you think?
Yeah, you know, I am guilty of cleaning house every once in a while, and I don't mean that in my social media at all, but just you can really, you know, Best Ever You has had a few bad business deals, for example. I mean, we've had just, you know, in its lifetime, it's had two bum business deals, and, you know, you do quickly learn, particularly in business, who you want near you and who you don't. And I think that goes into life as well. If you if you want to be an astronaut, surround yourself with people from NASA. You
know? I love that. Can I recycle that one? I like that one.
You can. But, you know, I think you do have to, you know, if you want to be in the movies, well, you know, you're not going to be in the movies.
Hanging out with the football team.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's very like-minded, and I think that that's important, and I also think that it's important to network, and you know, if they don't, you know, not everybody in your life has to have the same qualities and same everything and same goals and everything. There's all sorts of different people that, one of the things I love to do is, I love people because I love to find out all about them and their skill sets and all the things that they're talented with. You know, some people are really great artists. Some people are great singers, actresses, business people, networkers, radio hosts. Yep. Whatever. I mean, everybody has so many different qualities about them that are just neat. People are neat. If you start to really meet people and listen to all, you know, their journey throughout their lives, people have some great stories, especially old people. We aren't near, I don't think we're nice enough to all the old people. It's a peeve of mine. Old people
I agree.
Have cool stories. But anyway, if you just stop and really do take the time to listen to somebody else and listen to what they're good at, the interests combine.
Yeah, and you know the people and what I hear you saying is that hey, life certainly has not been a success only journey for you as well, and the fact that you're honest to share, hey, best ever, you had some things, you know, I think that this is part of the illusion that we have that somebody else had the success only journey, somebody else has all the magic answers and the silver bullets, and it's like, No, I go ahead and say, because you're going to finish my sentence, so go ahead.
No, I don't think that life is just this journey of success after success after success after success with no setbacks. You got to be kidding me. Never in a million years. And it's those people who get stymied by the setbacks that don't continue on in their journey. And I think it's very important to take a setback for what it is. It might be a setback, but you know, when a setback occurs, you really do have to just take a giant step back from it and look around and see all the things that are going to change from that one problem or setback. There are many more doors open from a setback than they do a success.
I love that, the setback and the comeback. And you're certainly evidence. I can't believe, Elizabeth, do you know that we've only got a couple minutes left here? Can you believe that this is – we're going to have you back on.
Well,
the best is just yet to come.
It's been a joy talking to you. Everybody out there.
Well, tell the listeners again how they can find you, anything else, any other. I know you have so many things on the site or anything else that they want to know. I have your book up there for people to see, which we didn't even really get to talk about, your blueberry book with the design by some of the kids that you work with and so forth. But let people know how to get in touch with you and what exciting thing that you have around the corner that they should hook up with you on.
Well, besteveryou.com, which is besteveryou or just besteveryou, the letter u.com, is my website. And then there's a new website coming out, elizhamilton.com. And you can always reach me on email or Facebook. My email is elizabeth@besteveryou. The book is Blueberry, and that was a dream. Before I hit 40, I wanted to write a children's book, and it's illustrated intentionally by two kids from Saco High School. And it's just a journey about moving to Maine. It's really my journey told through a cat's eyes of moving to Maine and seeing all the things and learning all the things I learned.
Which is really, it's awesome. And it's, like I said, it's on the site for people that you can click and get that. I'm hearing the little Blog Talk man telling me that we've got to pull it together to say goodbye. But I wanted to certainly thank Oh, yes, happy birthday. Another year of who knows what this year will be. It's just all an adventure and sharing the journey, the Best People We Know Club. But I just can't thank you enough in being a real person and taking the time to be here and sharing with everybody. And I hope that people will send this link to their friends and recycle this happiness and use this as a great mind vitamin tool, because Elizabeth is the real deal, and we are all special, and we all have a sparkle to shine, and if we don't do it, who will? So next Tuesday, 7 o'clock, the Best People We Know, and you can email me and contact me at greenskyandbluegrass.com. Elizabeth is at besteveryou.com, and we thank you so very much for being here and just knowing that you are going to be the best that you were created to be, and we are here to help each other. And have a great evening, and God bless, and thank you very much, and we'll see you next Tuesday at 7 o'clock. Bye.